Welcome to the Spiritual Sexual Shamanic Podcast. Tune in as we explore all things sexuality, transformation, relationships, and freedom with ISTA faculty and experts from around the world. I'm your host, Simon Marvell, faculty with ISTA.
Welcome to the Spiritual Sexual Shamanic Podcast. What even is that? We'll find out. Stay tuned. Today, I am really fucking excited in a really different way. It's not like neurotic mania high excitement, but it's like rooted, deep, yeah, homey, familiar, like, you know, you're my people. I'm here with Dave Buddha.
Center of the earth and excitement, you know.
It feels like my balls are hanging, like they dropped, you know? Yeah.
Big old balls.
Big old balls.
That's right.
All right. So for those of you who don't know who the Dave Buddha is, I've got a little bio. Yep. Yeah. Let's go for it. Yep. You smell great, like a man.
I said bio, so I thought.
I know.
Yeah, that was a joke.
Yeah. Bio. Dave Buddha is a writer, musician, and social entrepreneur. He is the co-founder of Intimacy Fest and hosts the Darkness Experiment. Dun, dun, dun.
Darkness.
That's right. The Darkness Experiment. He has led over 400 workshops on connection, touch, and relationships, and has consulted for and facilitated experiences for companies, communities, retreats, festivals, conferences, men's groups, birthday parties, orgies, weddings, funerals, and gatherings of all kinds, literally all of them, with the intention to inspire authenticity, depth, group cohesion, and connection. He has published over 200 essays for Buddhism.com and played over 1,000 shows as a touring singer / songwriter.
Yeah, that's the adult version of my bio where it talks about the orgies.
This is impressive shit. I'm into it.
Yeah. I sent it to you. Yeah, now you read it. That's right.
Yeah, exactly.
Thanks. Yeah, no, I'm old, you know. That means I've been around. I'm not that old, but, you know.
Or how about we call it older?
Yeah.
You know?
I'm older.
Older, yeah. You've lived.
I've lived some.
You've lived some.
Less than others, more than some.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a good way to put it.
I'm really happy to be here, Rhea. And I want to say that this is really fun. And I'm sure we'll talk about why. But I feel like since you referenced your balls, like you really like this move to have me a part of this is very big balls.
I got big balls.
I love that. I've been telling some friends, you know, like, oh my God, I'm going to go hang out with Rhea and we're going to talk on our podcast. And they're like, really? And I was like, yeah, I know. Isn't that crazy? And I just thought, yeah, I wouldn't even thought to do that. Yeah. So bravo for your big old balls.
Bravo indeed. You know, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you for that. And so much to be said, but ultimately what motivates me the most and what I love doing is looking for aliveness. Like what's alive, what's raw, what's edgy, where's their juice, like where's their life force, like, right? Like I'm trying to convey a specific message using all these like words that are fancy, but like it feels real and it feels alive. It just feels really current. Mm-hmm. And ultimately when we talked about what we're going to talk about, I really don't know. I mean, sure, it's basically sure. Like we kind of landed on, yeah, we can talk about all the different things, but ultimately I want to look for what's alive. And I trust that you and I have this like brohood, like we're friends,
yeah.
You know?
We've known each other for a while.
It's been a decade.
Yeah.
That's a long time.
I met you at the hotel that I'm going to be hosting an event at this weekend.
Oh my God, it's our anniversary.
Yeah, yeah.
It is. And that was October. Yeah.
Probably.
Yeah.
I want to ask you a little more about like why did you invite me?
Yes.
But I want to give maybe some context for why one would ask that, or why I would be, my friends would be like, really? You're going on that podcast? That's weird. So it's September 2023 right now, and probably for the last year and a half, but maybe a year officially, I've been part of a group called 3SC, Safer Sex Positive Spiritual Communities. I think we're still getting our name right. And we're basically a group of friends who saw an opportunity to try and correct some things in that field, which mostly we're talking about ISTA, and this is an ISTA podcast. And so I've been publicly and privately very critical of a lot of things ISTA, you know, personnel systems, that kind of thing. I like to think I'm a reasonable and generative force, right? I'm not trying to just throw bricks through windows, but like, I've said some things that have upset some people. I've been uninvited to some dinner parties where there's ISTA people or something. and yet, of course, I have a lot of friendships like you and so many others with friends that are their teachers or participants, organizers with ISTA. And yeah, so that's what I've been doing other things in the last year, but that's a big thing that I've been doing, is spend a lot of time in some really sweet mediated conversations with a bunch of ISTA, the names change a lot, but like council or governance or different kinds of people that are involved in decision making. And yeah, so I've been kind of the bad guy in a lot of people's minds. And you know, that doesn't usually get you invited on podcasts. Not that I was trying to get invited on a podcast, but that's, that's some context for why this is like a bold move by Rhea. So yeah, so I'm curious, aside from just the kind of the fact that it's out on left field, which is just already a fun reason to do things, like tell me more about your thoughts and why you invited me, and I'm sure you didn't get like rousing approval applause from other people when you were like, I want to invite Dave, and they're like, you know, I mean, so
yeah.
Assuming this airs, which we don't know if it will, but assuming that's the case, yeah, like tell me about your decision process.
I love this. I love that I'm getting asked the questions on like the podcast. It's like already new, right? Not only are we doing it live in person,
yeah,
in amazing San Diego, which is paradise where that's we true. Live. And yeah, it's an amazing question. It's because really it boils down to, I love you. Like I adore you. You've been a dear, dear friend and someone I've called my community, and I've always felt close to you, and I just fucking adore you. And we have history, 10 years worth, you know, and I wouldn't have met my husband if it weren't for you.
Yeah.
And you've brought so much joy and laughter and awesomeness in my life. And we have this amazing bond. And simultaneously, I love ISTA. Mm-hmm. I grew up with ISTA. ISTA has provided so much healing and transformation for me. It's also provided a lot of community. Mm-hmm. So I'm in this unique position of, you know, two loves, essentially, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That I feel connected to and close to and parallel with, that are at odds with each other. Or I don't even know if that's the right term, but it's like, it's not the same connection, sure. Right?
Yeah. Not everybody.
We're in a V
about us the way you do.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
We're in a V dynamic, and yeah. I'm the hinge,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And on top of that, I also know there are no such thing as the bad guy, the good guy. Like whenever there's that level of black and white thinking or clear delineation and like some kind of line. Really, it's so fucking arbitrary and subjective. Mm-hmm. And I'm interested personally in having nuanced, dynamic, layered conversations, because I trust that the truth will reveal itself. Mm-hmm. Like the truth will whisper and it'll come through in the whisper, and mm-hmm. those who can hear it will hear it and understand it, right? Mm-hmm. Or the truth can also be a 2x4 and hit you over the head with it and kind of clunk you into reality check mm-hmm. land. Mm-hmm. And also, it's not so much like this objective truth that exists outside, but really it's about lessening distortion. Mm-hmm. I honestly don't think I will ever experience reality or life without distortion. I am mm-hmm. constantly living under my own subjective projections and stories.
Reality.
Reality. That's right.
To those cute comics. That is so cute.
Exactly.
And I love that. The acknowledgement of that is deep.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I'm like, yeah, of course. Like it's almost like a bridge. Like it's like, you know, there's all these rumors or hearsay or like social media. It's just a limited platform. Not that like a podcast episode is the totality of it, but we can actually have a real just conversation, like two humans that we are.
Right.
Yeah.
I want to say when you just opened that up and said, because I love you, I was moved. I had tears in my eyes.
Yeah. Really sweet. Yeah.
I felt that.
Thank you.
Thanks for
I
that.
Love you, bro.
I think we've always had a special, like you've always felt like family to me, you know, like pretty much since, you know, shortly after we met and got to know each other, like there was just this like no boundaries family kind of vibes, you know? Mm. And I think maybe, I don't know. I feel like I have that a lot. I had that growing up in on the East Coast, and I had that in when I was in the Navy and at the Naval Academy a lot. So that like, I sometimes take it for granted, but it is rare somewhat out here. You know, there's not a lot of people that I get to drop in like that with, and it's so easy, you know, but I think it feels like family to me, you know?
No. Yeah. Yeah.
Don't make me cry again. That's it. Okay. I'm done with that shit.
I want the waterworks. I want all of you. I want the squishy and the puddle because I know and have felt and have seen that side of you.
Yeah.
Right. We can laugh. We can joke. We can talk about balls, and we can also bring on the tears, bring on the softer side and the velvet side of our inner chambers of our heart. Mm-hmm. And this dynamic, you know, from humor to speaking about reality and what is the meaning of life, it's a whole range that I don't get to share with many people. And you're definitely among the top that I really enjoy having that dynamicism with. So it's like, oh my God, of course I would invite you to the podcast.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
Yay. Yeah. To an episode we have no idea what to name or call yet, because we're just flowing with what's alive. And, you know, again, it's like our history, the way we met was through like a intentional workshop space, like personal development work, talking about polyamory, open relationships with some of the pioneers in the field. This was 10 years ago. Yeah. So we've been sort of like orbiting and involved and have experienced and also like stood on the shoulders of a lot of giants in the space.
And
we've also sort of been like passed down this baton or torch that we both carry in different ways. Like we have different versions of it and iterations of it, which I love to like talk more about.
I keep thinking I was trying to make a joke about like passing the dildo or like standing on the genitals of or something, but I couldn't. It just never, nothing really came. It was,
I like the visual though. The torch that we're carrying is clearly a dildo.
Yeah, clearly.
With like, you know, flames inside. It's great.
Yeah. Flaming dildo.
Yeah, of course. It's very natural and apropos.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's like, you know, I feel my relationship with ISTA has been, I'm part of ISTA Core. I'm an ISTA faculty member, facilitator. I've organized, I've brought ISTA to Japan, to my fatherland. I mean, I've started this podcast. I'm also running the ISTA integration program. Like I am balls deep in ISTA, you know,
big old balls deep,
you know, and I've never personally experienced your judgment or criticism. I've only experienced your reverence and respect for me, because I feel your trust and your love and your care for me. And you're like, hey, Rhea, if you want to do that, great, good for you. And, you know, like you've expressed to me, if you have any issue or judgment or concern, it's like you take ownership of it, right? Like you're not putting it on me. It like, it doesn't feel, I don't feel attacked, right? And so we've never had that, I don't know, friction or conflict or anything. If anything, it's like, my experience of you and your relationship to ISTA is you're like, you know, perpendicular to ISTA.
As opposed to, like running alongside of like the car running the red light through the intersection or something.
That's right.
And then T-boning.
Yeah.
Well, I think, you know, because I am excited about making this podcast as much about you as we can. I mean, you don't take yourself that seriously. Mm. And is one of the things that's really wonderful about you. Mm. And it's easy to take yourself seriously when you're a shaman or whatever people are like, it's like, and I don't take myself that seriously either. Mm. And I don't take other people that seriously for the most part, which I guess can be hard. But yeah, like that's a big piece. Mm. Like, I think there's, you know, I try to learn everything I can from the masterclass ads on Facebook. That's mostly where I get my wisdom from. So I will repeat something from an advertisement that I thought was really profound, which is from this guy, Jocko Willink, who's a ex-Navy SEAL and, you know, has been on Rogan a bunch and has just kind of made a lot of people smarter, and he's wonderful. He did a class on leadership, and I watched the masterclass ad for it, of course. So I've seen the entire thing, and he had this line, and he said, you know, here's the top three qualities of a leader: humility, humility, humility. Mm. That was it. Mm. And I my understanding of leadership is very rooted in the military, so I appreciate what he's saying. Mm. And I've been thinking about that lately, you know, as I've talked to a lot of leaders in the sacred sexuality community, including myself in the mirror and other people. And it's like, how humble are people? Mm. Just spiritual, a humble spiritual leader is a rare find.
Yeah.
And yet both leadership and spirituality kind of asks for humility. I mean, and so I think it's easy to overlook that because it's a very subtle, nobody gets awards for being humble. Yeah. You know, you don't really see that. And yet it's just such an important quality to have, to be an influencer, a leader, facilitator, whatever it is that we find ourselves doing, you know? And so I just wanted to add that and say, you know, you don't have to purchase the masterclass anymore. You could just, that's it. You got it. Thanks, Jocko.
You've saved us. Thank you, our hero.
Yeah,
yeah. It's so powerful. Humility. You know, having been born and raised in Japan, I have a different relationship with humility than I experience a lot of people in the West or just Americas, really. And just being, you know, multiracial and living all over the world and traveling and just being influenced and touched by so many cultures, there are what I'm tracking and noticing is a distinction between like human instinct, like the human condition that no matter what culture you're from, we're all subjected to. Mm-hmm. And then there's like cultural differences between like collectivist culture versus individualistic mm-hmm. culture. And something that I appreciate about Japanese culture, by no means is it perfect, but it does really honor humility. It honors honor. Totally. Like honor's a big thing. You know, there's a saying in Japanese to read the air, kuki o yomu. Like you read the air, like you feel the energy, right? Mm-hmm. And like silence is powerful. They appreciate stoicism there, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. right? It's like a different culture and right. reward. And you know, the full other side of the spectrum here on this side of the world, it celebrates like ambition and goal oriented and like achievement, mm-hmm.
yeah.
you know,
individualism.
Not that achievement is not a celebrated there because it has more Western influences, but just like
individual
rooted.
Achievement, yeah. maybe in a sense or something. Yeah. 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 Or status maybe in that
status.
Way. Maybe it's a better word.
Well,
for
so,
it.
Okay. So that's interesting. Yeah. Status is a human condition.
Yeah.
Doesn't fucking matter what culture you're from.
Sure.
We are all after status.
Right.
Like, seriously.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
I mean,
yeah.
literally everything I ever do is for status.
Yeah.
Why would it not be? Why sure. would I ever be motivated to do anything else? But it's not status at the expense of my humanity. Mm-hmm. Right? Like, I'm still very much about having compassion, looking for love, like looking for the truth, like there's a sense of being grounded in it, but status as in instinct, human instinct, right? That it's like an unconscious program and motivator that unless I'm actively thinking about and feeling into, mm-hmm. that program is running me.
Yeah. I want to say another thing that you're really good at that I appreciate, which kind of goes back to what you were saying about how you know what you don't know.
Yeah.
This idea that like your reality is not the reality, which sounds obvious. It sounds like we all should just get that, but you look around and it's not
right,
the case.
Right.
And yeah, like you're really like you are not, I mean, I think it's partly because you don't take yourself so seriously, but you don't, you're just like, you've made friends with the parts of you that are, you know, I don't know what a bus I put these kind of like classic human parts, right? That like no one should really be ashamed of. Like we're all questing for status. We're all like, you know, the ego in that way.
Yeah.
Like that's just what it is. Like it's not, and it's just for most part okay with you. And that's great.
I think
that's so important.
And this takes work. Like I wasn't born like this. I was under the spell and insecure, and I still have them, and I still battle with all the things that humans have. But there's a part of me that really loves just the sharp angle truth. Mm-hmm. And the truth can be brutal. But there's something so fucking liberating about it. Mm-hmm. That's like, you know what? Here's the catch 22 bitter truth cosmic joke of it all, right? Literally every single human being, if you're alive and you're in a body, you're going to have insecurities and you're going to have thoughts and it's going to be dysphoric and uncomfortable. There's just like suffering and battles that we're all facing and going through. And it's like, you know what? If we're all doing this, but then we're struggling because we're trying to cover it up and pretend like we're not.
Right.
It's like, what? It just makes no sense. It just burns way too many calories.
Yeah.
To like have so many layers and masks between what's authentic and what's real. And actually, I figured out the secret sauce, which is you will never be bored getting to know yourself. Mm-hmm. Just like learning about myself. Like, I don't know who the fuck I am. I don't know what's real and what's not real. I have an inkling. I have a notion. Like I'm trying to constantly shift my needle and my compass.
Yeah,
you know, to align with something deeper and bigger than just myself.
I want to sort of pause that and point something that's just because we exist in a lot of spiritual communities and something like that. I think when you say you'll never get bored with learning about yourself, I think people hear it in different ways. And I think one of the ways that people hear it that you don't mean, that I also don't mean, that I is like essentially learning how to be better.
Uh-huh.
In a sense, being more self-aware and congruent with who you are, you could make the argument that's a better version of yourself. So I get that. But I think there's a way that at one times in a lot of spiritual communities, what they'll do is like, I'm learning about my divine self. Mm-hmm. I'm learning about myself as a spiritual being. I'm learning more about myself, but it's learning about who they want to be.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like, that's different. Mm-hmm. Learning about like, okay, I have this model of myself. Let's just say it, you know, we've talked about this before, but men do this all the time. Men love this. And like, what does it mean to be a man? I'm learning about myself as a man. Well, what's probably happening is that I have a model of what it means to be a man. Mm. I think that's what I need to be. And I'm learning how to be that, or I'm trying to acquire the skills to be that, which is just different than what you're saying. I'm not saying one should or shouldn't do that. That's kind of a different topic, but it's like learning about yourself, being curious about yourself, it's a particular energy that I think we sounds obvious, but often in the execution of it is not the thing you're saying.
Yeah. There is
maybe because you have to do it with no judgment, I think, and that's again comes back to where your approach is. You can approach that with no judgment. A lot of people can't. They're learning about themselves, like, oh, but that thing, nope, we're going to fix that. Okay, let me write that down, fix that thing.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, but if you can actually learn to look at yourself with no judgment, then you have a shot at learning about who you actually are.
Yeah.
Period.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. It's uncomfortable. It's painful, quite frankly, because there's something around human instinct, human animal, being primal creatures, that most people struggle with accepting that we're an animal species. We're animals. Mm-hmm. Like, right? If we're so stuck on pretending to be civilized, or, you know, especially conscious or woke, or there's like some kind of idealized way of being, mm-hmm. versus looking at myself as a spectrum. I'm constantly evolving, constantly moving, constantly changing, and coming back to like, what do I value? What are my principles? And also being able to find where I can actually, I like the word you use, be congruent, like integrated, because so often there's just like internal conflicts. There's a part of me that wants one thing and another part that wants something totally opposite, and it's not mutually exclusive. And then I go into like war with myself, where there's like suffering or struggle or pain. It's like, what's the point of that? So part of that, you know, my origin story, right? Like where it all started is just being American and being Japanese, like being Buddhist and being Jewish, like being born and raised in Tokyo, Japan, and growing up in Kawasaki, Japan, like who I am as a Japanese little girl to young woman. Like when I speak Japanese, like my personality is different. Mm-hmm. Like I have a totally, different personality totally. In Japan, totally. But not just being Japanese, being also like a half person, like multiracial in a homogenous society. Moving to the States, like being American, who am I? Like growing up in New York and Jersey, like, right? Mm-hmm. You're Boston, right? Yeah, like yeah. We've got the Northeast, it's a vibe.
Yeah.
It's like a vibe. It's a fucking vibe.
Yeah.
Like, you know, if you know, you know.
Yeah, that's where we threw our first play party together.
Exactly.
In Brooklyn.
That's right.
Yeah,
Brooklyn,
yeah.
New York, you
yeah.
know?
Yeah.
I run into Dave at Poly Cocktails. And uh-huh. I'm like, you come home with me now.
That was, well, I should tell that story.
Okay, please,
that was really
please,
great.
By all means.
And I think, and then we threw the play party afterwards,
yes,
or something
yes,
like that,
yes,
like
yes.
a couple months later.
Yeah.
Yeah. I showed up to a Poly Cocktails event, and I was in my high school brain, you know, feeling like super insecure. And I was like, oh, who I'm going to hope maybe I'll meet someone here and meet people and just make some friends, or I don't know, whatever. And I don't, there, maybe there was more going on that day. It was just like, I was just not in a good headspace. And I just ran into you. Had we slept together before at that point? Maybe?
No, we hadn't
okay.
yet at that point.
Yeah,
no.
yeah, we hadn't. So I was just like, oh, here's this awesome person that I know and great. And then, yeah, you were like, you just like, you're like, oh my God, hey, it's good to see you. Blah, blah. It's just like, what are you doing tonight? Let's go back to my place and have sex or something. I mean, I yeah. forget what you said, but it was just like.
Pretty much.
It was just like, it just like, was like a wave that just like washed my brain of all the bullshit that was going on inside. And it was just like, ugh, it was just such a sweet. And again, it was just like the, to me, like that family, that friendship model that we're talking about. It was like this. Yeah. Just so that's, yeah, I think that's how it started. That's how we got to really know each other maybe. Or then we threw the play party a couple months later, and that's where you met Kenny. And yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And when we say friendship and family, it's friends and family who sleep together and are intimate. Yeah. It's a different category.
Yeah. Totally. Yeah.
You know, it's like, this is where language fails us, right? Like we're trying to communicate very specific experiences or nuanced feelings and insights and thoughts. And we use these words, but I can tell that they're really like double entendres, and like people just hear what they hear. And it's like, it's so challenging.
Yeah.
To share reality. But then when you do share it with someone, you're like, ah, you get it. Like you're here with me. Like we're on the same, you know, we're in the similar bubble. Like we're smelling the same things. We're seeing the same things. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah.
Yeah.
Special.
I mean, it's just like a Madonna whore complex. Spread out over everything, you know. It's like, how can you be both?
Right.
And how can you be both if you're not like, that's like, that's what marriage is or something, mm-hmm. or that's what a long-term relationship is or all these other things. So yeah.
But I love that. I love this story. That's so appropriate. Like I have worked so hard to be that person, to be like, why are we fucking playing games?
Right.
Like just speak it. you know?
Yeah.
And don't get me wrong, I love a good mystery and I love a good, like, you know, anticipation and foreplay. And like, I understand seduction, the art of seduction. Mm-hmm. That's not what we're talking about here. We're sure. talking about falsifying insecurities and like withholding cat and mouse, like, do you like me, do you not like me, but I'm never gonna ask you directly, and right. It's weird.
Yeah,
I'm like, no.
Yeah,
it's like, yeah. Yeah,
it's beautiful, and that you have the power to change that. I mean, a lot, I think that's, you know, attractive women generally, I think, have a nice leverage to change that. You know, it's,
I've got all the power,
you know. I you know, I mean, I do what I can, but also like I have to just kind of tread cautiously yeah. around directness
yeah.
when it comes to different things like that. You know, I mean, one of the things I do, my kind of day job, is I play music at bars and restaurants and stuff like that. And I do that like 3 or 4 days a week. And I, you know, a lot of times I'm connecting with cute women, you know, it's kind of eye contact and I can see them watching me play and sing and they like it. And I just think to myself, you know, like, wouldn't it just be nice if we lived in a world where like on my break, she could come up to me or I could come up to her or something and be like, you're super hot. You want to make out for like 2 minutes? And I'm like, yeah. Like, wouldn't that just, you know, it's like, and we don't, and that's okay. And whatever. And I think that's, you know, you and I and ISTA and all sorts of organizations are working to try to help create that world, not smack society over the head with that world, but like usher that world in gently, you know. But it's a bummer, you know. It's like, yeah. And not that every sexual desire needs to be actualized. It's very male of me, but you know, it's like, it's such a bummer. Like, this is a win-win here. Look at all the win-wins. You know, it's like when we all like think back to high school and realize that the person we had a crush on and a crush on us too. And it's just like, shoot, you know, what do you do with that? So,
yeah. I don't know about you, but I definitely live in that world.
I know you do. No, I'm saying it's beautiful. And I think the way I, you know, try to live in that world is through community, is through, like, I don't necessarily feel like I can do that with strangers, but I can do that and I can have people around me that, you know, that we trust each other, and that's nice, you know. But it's beautiful. I mean, it's great.
Yeah. It's so funny. Yesterday I went to my women's group. I had a women's group gathering, and we rotate, you know, to different people's houses every time we gather. And I'm in a new building for one of my sisters, you know, going to her house, and I'm walking down the hallway, and there's a door open, and there's just like a bunch of dudes in there who's like, you know, just chatting. And I'm like, hey, is this my party? You know, just like, I'm just like flirting. I don't know you. You're some random stranger in like the building of an event I'm going to go to. Like, hey, is this my party? And he just kind of looks at me shocked. He's like, no. And I was like, okay, have a good night. You know, like,
it was like, going to be my party, but now it's not. Peace out.
You know, but like, it's like, I live in the world of embracing and owning my desire, my sexuality as much as I can, because I feel like salmon swimming upstream, right? Like, I'm living in a culture that is sex negative, that has a lot of opinions and judgments and like a lot of shit to say about sexuality in general, especially female sexuality. So doing the work to just really find a home in my skin, in my body, like really landing in this animal body and being like, yeah, let's take full advantage of this, you know, animal body experience, because it's so fleeting. And I live in that world of like, hey, I speak into my desires, I own it, but I'm also calibrated and like finding synergy, right? So like, random stranger door open, like, yeah, I threw some I don't know, bait your way, like, just to, you know, be cheeky. Like,
right,
what's the point of life, right? If you can't kind of do that. And I was met with a no, and it's like, great, have a good night. Like, we'll never see each other again. But, you know, it's like, so I'm seeing where people meet me.
Well, it's like you were met with confusion.
Yeah.
Because if that guy knew what you were actually doing, and he understood that there was a reality where you were actually just that open, then he might have reacted differently. But it's kind of like if somebody just like walks up to you in the middle of the street and says, hey, here's $100 bill. You'd be like, thanks. Okay. And you're like, look, you're like,
right.
What's the catch?
Right.
Right. And a lot of times,
yeah,
women like you do that. And then that's the reaction. It's like, hey, what's the catch here?
Yeah.
What are you expecting in return for this, this, your sexuality versus flirtiness or whatever it is, you know? And last week he got burned. Yeah. So he's like, no, not going to take that risk again.
Right. Totally.
Or whatever, you know? Yeah. And fortunately, you know, I mean, I guess like, so you can share that reality with people and then, you know, whatever. And sometimes they get it, sometimes they don't. And like, you know, I can maybe share that reality to the extent I can, but I have ears for that. Like I have like this naive optimism every time I go on like dating apps or something that people could just be honest and have an exchange of needs of what they actually want, which most of the time I'm guessing is not finding the one, you know, like I've just like, it just be like, ugh, like this could be so great. And yet, and I'm always naively optimistic. I'm always like, I'm just going to be honest here. I'm just going to and I'm like, so I, you know, and again, sometimes it comes back around and I'm pleasantly surprised, you know, I'm like, oh my God, I just met someone who's super cool and is just like this. And we got along great and we had a fun experience and we're both happy about it. Like wonderful.
Yeah. Yeah.
But you know, it's just a weird game playing world out there.
It's a game playing strategic world. And I feel lucky that I stumbled upon my people who get me,
right?
Who enjoy my flavor of weirdo, right? Like who get my quirkiness and they're like, yeah, more of you. Cause I've definitely been in spaces where that was not the case.
Yeah.
Right. Which led to a depression and eating disorder and just like being around not my people. Right.
What does that look like for people to kind of shoot you down in that way?
It's a great question. It could be as simple as just not playing with me, like playing with my words. Like I'm silly. I want to be witty. Like I'll throw bait, you know, like a setup, you know, right. And I just want banter.
Yeah.
And if I'm just met with like a stone wall or like meh, you know, like that alone's like, oh, they just don't get me. Yeah. Like they're not playing energetic catch with me.
For sure.
Right. You know, it's like, it's just as simple as that. Like, then I already know, oh, my flavor is not like celebrated here because I don't want to just be tolerated.
What's the shittier version of that though? Like what does that probably is less common, but like what is like the, because those people are just kind of idiots. Like, they don't get it. Like the guy you walked up to, hey, is this my party? No. Correct answer. Move on. Thank you very much. I am a robot. Like those like people are just dumb, but like there's some people that I'm guessing have been shitty to you.
Yes.
You know, and try to like kind of take an advantage of that openness in a way to like either project their fucking shame or whatever. But like, what does that look like?
That's a good question. So I definitely think this way of being, like my openness is a part of my personality and just like constitution, if you will. Mm-hmm. And so when I was younger, definitely like teenage years to early 20s, I was taken advantage of. Like I've tripped and fallen accidentally into multiple cults, right? Just like different, you know, spiritual groups or practices or whatever. I mean, I've dated a ton of cult leaders. You know, my birth father, my father actively calls himself a cult leader.
Okay.
He's like a tiny little Japanese man who like meditates 14 hours a day.
Wow.
You know, and is like, oh, proud daughter. Only thing important in life is peaceful death.
Wow.
And I'm like, daddy, I am 5 years old. Before I die, can I get like $5 to buy some candy? Like, that's what life is about. It's like death, you know?
Damn.
So, I mean, I grew up in a very spiritually led level of intensity, right? So I'm used to intensity. I'm used to abstract thinking and like far out there ways of being. Like to me, that's normal, right? Like that's what's familiar.
Yeah.
And this living day to day, like, you know, figuring out the daily mundane of life, like learning how to be human, like that's mm-hmm. like exciting for me because it's so new.
Yeah.
So I've learned along the way. I've had many heartbreaks. I've fucking, you know, drained $30,000 out of my account, you know, with one of those mm-hmm. heartbreak mm-hmm. experiences, right? Yeah. Like,
what did you spend the money on?
Oh, good. Good.
I have to know. I just, like, just threw that out.
Do
there.
You want the like crude answer?
Yeah.
Yeah. Good dick. Just
oh, okay. Great.
Really good dick.
It
was
wow.
Just, yeah. I was like madly in love. I was 24. He was like,
so you're not 36. Talking about prostitution, but you spent the money on, you're saying like you supported someone.
Oh my God. Yeah.
Who was hot.
Yeah. Basically. He was like tall, dark and handsome. Yeah. We had amazing sex. I was 24. He was 36 or 7, like wow. going through a divorce. And I was like, oh, just come move in with me.
Wow.
Yeah, of course. It's our second date and you're bringing like trash bags of your stuff. Yeah.
Great.
That's normal.
Yeah. Not even a bag of it, just trash
just like
bags.
Literally, yeah, like hefty black garbage bags full of his okay. stuff on the second date.
At least they
like,
were thick plastic.
They were, yeah, it was like
the contractor bags, you know. It's good.
Yeah. But like, I mean, you know, now fast forward 14 years later, yeah, right from
yeah,
that
yeah.
sweet, adorable, naive 24-year-old with googly eyes.
Yeah, yeah.
I've learned about codependency and, for you sure. know, boundaries and consent and, yeah, principles and values. And I'm so glad I got to make really big life-changing mistakes in my 20s.
For sure.
Right?
Yeah.
And I knew that. Like, I read it somewhere. We didn't have Instagram back then or Facebook back then, but I remember reading it somewhere like, you know, beauty is wasted on the youth, or like youth is weighted on the youth.
Yeah,
and like by the time you have intelligence and wisdom, you know, you don't have your youth anymore. You don't have your vibrancy anymore.
Right.
So it's right. like, all right, you know, I learned. And thank God, like knock on wood, I learned the hard way, but not so hard that I got lost in it.
Yeah.
Right? Like I was able to bounce back. I had enough grit and perseverance to like literally blood, sweat, and tears crawl my way out of, mm-hmm. you know, default reality, like feeling disconnected and isolated, not feeling understood, not feeling seen, like just lacking depth.
Yeah.
And intimacy. And like that's what I love about you is your willingness to play in the fun and light and witty and go towards deep.
You're trying to bring back to me, huh?
Is yeah.
That, I see
yeah,
what
yeah.
you're doing there.
Yeah, yeah. Right. You like that? You like my ninja skills?
Yeah. No, I mean I had a more of an opposite journey coming from like calibrating what it's like to have kind of cult leader narcissistic tendencies, you know. I use the word narcissistic a lot and people freak out, but it's like I just look at it as like a personality. I do yeah. think there are people with actual NPD that should be sitting on couches and talking to therapists, and that's great, and I don't think I'm one of them. However, looking at myself through the lens of a narcissist has helped me calibrate to mm-hmm. just be a better person and mm-hmm. listen more and mm-hmm. stop interrupting people so much and all that kind of shit. But yeah, that's been like, so, you know, I was the guy you were dating, you know, 10 years ago or whatever. Like we were on journeys figuring out how to be in good relationships.
Mm, yeah.
Because yeah. I was, you know, and again, I don't think it was horrible. But that was the thing that made it better when I could listen more and when I was, yeah, just more. I just said calibrated for those kinds of personality traits.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is so powerful to be able to listen well. And I mean, now that I'm here at like 39 years old, it's like, wow, I know nothing. I know nothing. I have fucked shit up and like rubbed my nose in it. I've gotten messy. I've like wrestled with it, you know, and by it meaning like life and sexuality and love and heartbreak and pain and suffering, like all of it, like just the human experiences. I've really wrestled with this. And I'm a workshop junkie, right? Like I've done all of it. I've done the Tony Robbins, mm-hmm. the Landmark. I mean, I'm in fucking like Ballsy Bonista, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And like psychedelics, Burning Man, like all the counterculture ways of transformation, of development, of exploring the corners of my psyche. I am still currently actively in psychoanalysis, mm-hmm. like clinical, you know, psychotherapy. With the same therapist for over 10 years.
Wow.
Like I am exploring the corners.
You're doing it.
I'm in it, right? Like I'm in the cobwebs of my psyche, right? Like just to, and some of it's like navel gazing a little bit. Mm-hmm. And being able to rub my nose in that, I'm like, oh, now that I know what that is, it's like no longer interesting to me. Let me get my head out of my own ass, right?
Sure.
And like, what's even the meaning of life, right? And so it's constantly evolving and changing. So I feel deeply humbled, mm-hmm. you know, even like healthy embarrassment, right? Of like shit I've said or done in the past. Mm-hmm. But it goes to show like, oh, I'm shifting and changing. I'm morphing. And I am straddling that line of like, okay, I value growth without falling into paralysis. Mm-hmm. And falling into like the ego trap and getting stuck because I'm so attached to certain status that I'm so afraid to lose status, I don't act. And I'm like, oh, that would be a living fucking hell, like a living nightmare.
Sure.
Right. So,
well, I think that's, you do act a lot. You are out in the world. It was funny. I was going to joke when you were listing all the things you've done, and I was going to say, and Kenny.
Oh yes. That's
like, you know, like you're real. That's the real workshop, you know, like yeah. You guys are really doing it.
Yeah.
And that's what I think makes it not navel gazing or whatever. Cause I do think you know, personal growth often has diminishing returns.
Yeah.
It's like the first couple workshops, oh my God, it's great. And then it just kind of gets like, less and less and less and less. And I think it's because it just becomes like kind of skill building after a while, maybe.
Yeah.
And to really look at yourself, I don't know, there's a, you have to be willing to humble yourself or, yeah. So, I mean, like what you're saying about acting, and it really is, cause it can be, I really feel like after, yeah, like if somebody's been in that work for 5+ years, just because the self-development world likes to tell you that everything you want is available through them, just like any religion or even maybe some therapists are like, yeah, oh, just this is it, like this is where you can learn anything because you've learned something. So you just, you know, it's like, keep going to that tree and picking fruit, you're going to keep eating fruit. Like,
yeah.
And it's like, meh, it doesn't really work that way. I think that's, we need that kind of diversity and we need to like have different experiences. I mean, one of the most life-changing experiences I had was I went to, with Paolo, we went to South Africa and spent 2 weeks in the bush and then worked with this woman named Anna Breitenbach, who's an animal communicator. Mm. And we lived out in this game reserve for like, you know, 7 days with no tent, no, it was just wild animals and us and a couple guys with rifles who were probably not going to use them. Wow. Were, you know, like, and it was like seven of us, her and these two guides.
Yeah.
And it was just like, whew, that was life-changing. There was no wisdom or psychoanalysis or, you know, distinctions or what, you know, like it was just like, yeah, that really changed me, you know, or, bicycling across Europe in 2011, I cycled from London to Greece, through Turkey, over the Alps, all that kind of shit. And that was life changing. And that was just, I mean, you know where to start, but you know, it was like, and I think there's a place for all that stuff, but yeah.
Yeah. Life is the greatest teacher and nature is the greatest.
Nature's really good teacher.
Nature, ecosexual AF, right? Like nature really brings me back home to something beyond
Nature needs to get a business coach, man. Nature could be making so much more money, you know. Nature could be running retreats on a yacht in Croatia or something. It's just like, come on, nature. Like,
come on, nature. Get your shit together.
Play a bigger game, all right? Like, stop playing so small. Like, don't you know your value?
Oh,
like,
my
don't
God.
You want to leave a legacy, yeah. Nature? Come on.
So good.
Just get a fucking coach, you know?
Just get a fucking coach, yeah.
Just, you're worth yeah, it, yeah. Nature. Yeah, you're
yeah.
worth it.
Yeah, come on, nature. Visa, MasterCard, Discover,
yeah,
Amex.
Yeah, just ask your parents for a loan, whatever you need to do. Just get that money, oh. Nature. Get that coaching.
Yeah.
Start those programs.
So good.
Yeah.
Yeah, life will teach you. It's taught me. It's whipped my ass in shape, I tell you. And I appreciate the... It's both, right? Like, I mean, as a polyamorous woman, I can smell and sniff out, like, monogamous thinking, mm-hmm. right? And belief systems, because it's just what we live in. So it's like sure. the one or, like... the answer or the school, uh-huh. like the diet, the health, like this idea or notion that it's like this one thing and that's the all or nothing.
Oh, we're going to blame all that in monogamy.
Well, it's not so much monogamy, but kidding. It's like mono thinking, mono theology, you know,
yeah.
like
we can blame it on monogamy. I'm okay yeah, with that.
I'm just, okay with that.
It's a lot. No, I'm just kidding. We're not blaming yeah. on monogamy. Monogamy's fine.
Monogamy's great. Monogamy is great. Like, so long as you thought it through.
Sure.
Like, we're born into it. It's all we know. It's what's acceptable. It's what's celebrated. It's what's supported. Yeah. And if you're like, yeah, I've thought this through and this is what works for me. Awesome.
Yeah.
Fuck yeah. That's great. For people who haven't thought it through, then it's like, oh, okay, you're just like, you're living in whatever was given to you and you haven't actually explored it. Like, good on you, but that's not what I'm interested in dabbling or playing with.
Yeah, we're talking about lacking diversity in your right. like life experience such that you're too many eggs are in one basket.
Yeah.
Something I've noticed a lot is that, and this is the way I sum it up, is that people are often taking the wrong medicine. Mm. So like since we're banking on Tony Robbins or something, if you go to a Tony Robbins workshop, most of the people there probably need nature or a meditation retreat or whatever. If you go to the meditation retreat, most of the people there might need Tony Robbins mm-hmm. or might need a boxing gym. And you go to the boxing gym, most of the people there might need to just fucking, you know, lay in and not do anything. It's like, we're all sort of like, we're doing things that for some people is growth and self-development, but for us might be just getting better at the thing we're already good at. Mm. And in doing that, we just avoid the weaknesses of ourselves. Mm-hmm. And we think that, we're experiencing probably a little bit of growth, but it's this like plateau thing. But like, I mean, how many of our friends do we see and what they're doing is improving them, but it's like, yeah, but if you did that thing, you know, and Ista's a good example. Yeah. Throw Ista in here. It's like, okay, so like working with your sexuality and your primal nature and all these things that I'm going to fail in characterizing Ista about. But like, you know, it's like, okay, that would be so good. But instead this person is going to go to their 20th, you know, marketing seminar or even, you know, the too much into a meditation, you know, heady, you know, out of body experience thing. And it's like, how do you, man, like it's such a rare experience to go to something where I'm like, oh, I am out of place here. I am not.
Yeah.
Like, this is not, I'm not used to this.
Uh-huh.
I'm not good at anything. Uh-huh. Everybody here is, I'm like a rookie.
Yeah.
And it's so hard to find those experiences.
Yeah.
And, but you know, we're so in our bubbles and it's, it's difficult.
Yeah.
I love Christian stuff.
Christian stuff?
When I find Christian culture is so outside of my reality. It's like, you know, oh man. There's some good things to be learned for me from that world.
Yeah.
To the extent I have access to it, and which is not much, but I try, you know, like It's a completely different world to me. And of course, I have a lot to offer them, but I'm not going in there preaching to them, you know,
right.
I'm going in and like curious, like what, you know, I do need to be a little more responsible and like get my shit together and and you know what? Like, some morals, like, I think having a moral foundation and some other thing, you know, there's gold there. Mm-hmm. They go there in them hills. But it's just like, I wouldn't think to that. If my first impulse, if I want to do more work, is to do something I'm already good at.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah. Because we like feeling like we're winning.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I mean, totally. Like, it sends all the positive signals that it's hitting the different circuits. And it's like, that's what we're supposed to be doing. That's what we're wired to do. And I just am cut from a cloth of like, I need depth beyond just the status quo, just beyond the day-to-day, the default that's available. Like, I'm seeking something deeper because my, I don't know, soul or essence or being or whoever the fuck, right, is inhabiting this body, can't like sit still and like rest well, right? So I've appreciated also frameworks and the way things are explained to me in a workshop setting, but it's only as good as me taking what I'm learning and applying it and living it, right? Like, there's a difference of being like the observer or what you called earlier, like on the sidelines, versus like being an active participant, like in my life.
Sure.
Yeah. And
that's what's great about relationships too. Relationships.
That I was going to say, you can't really
you can't do work on relationships from the sidelines. Like, I don't know.
It does not work.
It's just great.
Yeah.
You know,
my ultimate, like, I'm getting a PhD right now in the school of Kenny, like you called it earlier. Like, being married to him, it is really like I'm confronting aspects and parts of myself I wouldn't have access to without this relationship, without this marriage, like 7 years in, you know, we're hitting truths and honesty and bumping up in places that's like, okay, this is like edgy or crunchy, right? Yeah. And in our love and in our relating and in humility, like literally every morning for breakfast, I need to eat some fucking humble pie or it is like a war zone.
Well, and I also say, you know, looking at the differences between you and I as an example, I mean, that humble pie is definitely my medicine. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of your medicine is also is actually like being bigger oftentimes. And like that's like taking up more space and having like been like, no, like this is, you know, like that's, I think often where you come into more of alignment. It's not that you can't also be more humble. I think that's also true, but it's like, yeah, I mean, my medicine, again, looking through the lens of the kind of narcissism thing is about listening more and pulling back and but for someone like my partner or you or other people, and not that we're all just one thing, but yeah, it's can be about actually like stepping up and being bigger and being more like, no, you're gonna listen to me. Like this is like, I have something to say here. Again, if I give what often happens too is like, you know, it's like, it's funny, I did this event with our friend Halcyon, John Halcyon, you know him? I thought it'd be fun to do an event called Narcissists Anonymous. And it was just like a little like group of us getting together. And I just love attention and all this kind of stuff. I just thought it'd be funny. And it was funny. And we did it and it was sweet. But like one of my friends who's totally not a narcissist, you know, called me up or was like, hey, I want to come to that thing. And I was like, you're not a narcissist? No. I was like, no, you don't. But it was like, he's so afraid of that, that his, in his compensation for it, he's always guarding against being too big, taking up too much space. And then, but in his life, what he struggles with is that going too far that other direction, you know? And so it's easy for us to look at, you know, and this is, I wrote a piece called Why Narcissists Love Spiritual Communities. And it's, and it's, and it, the reason is because in spiritual communities, a lot of the same things that I'm saying to myself are kind of encouraged. It's like, you are God, like you are big, you know, Marianne Williamson, like what we're really afraid of is not being powerful enough. And I like, and so people that are full of themselves, they hear that. They're like, that's a great message. I love that. Great message.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fuck these Christian churches that are saying we should be humble and there before the grace of God go. I don't need that shit. I'm going to go there. Give me a cape, you know, like and so it's like, it matches up with that. The thing that we already are saying to ourselves, and then we take it because it's medicine for some people. So it's labeled, it's in a bottle called medicine.
Yeah.
And we take it and go, I'm taking medicine. Everybody look at me. I'm doing great. And it's like, no, man, you don't need to love yourself more. Can you love other people more?
Yeah, that's
stop
right.
fucking loving yourself. Yeah. Like enough, you know? And again, but for some people that's perfect medicine. And those people are probably over taking the more humble medicine. Mm. Oh, I need to be more humble. Oh, I'm taking too much pace. I mean, and it's just like, no. Can you switch places?
Yeah.
Please switch places. You know?
Yeah. We need to cross train each other.
Right.
And have a smorgasbord or like a buffet of different medicines, different flavors, different ways of existence, because you're right. We're going to just keep leaning into what feels familiar and what's easy. And so I feel lucky that I've stumbled upon this world, and it's only in my risk taking and like being high risk tolerant and just taking chances, right? Of saying yes to certain workshops and saying yes to certain experiences. And like looking back now, I'm like, whew, I really like dodged some sketchy situations that I could have gotten myself in trouble with, but I had enough luck, which is like a big part of it, plus like intelligence and calculation to like see, okay, where what's going to bring out the best in me? Mm-hmm. Like, who do I love being around certain groups or certain situations and places that is actually contributing to something beyond just me and my ego or me and my small self, right? Like what can I actually co-create? And even though being married to Kenny is a lot, it is stretching me and like forcing me to grow and be in a better version of myself or bigger picture, like future oriented, like health oriented, like how can love show up in this moment? How are we doing life together?
Sure.
Every single day. Right? Like when I'm tired and I'm cranky and I haven't slept well and I'm hormonal and all the things and life and the pressures and the demands that life pulls on both of us and pulls us in different directions, how can I still show up? And it's like, it's not easy.
Yeah.
And I can't sign my name next to all of my behaviors and all the things I say because I'm not always proud of it and it's not always the best. But ultimately what I'm learning is like, that's ordinary. Mm-hmm. That is ordinary existence. Ordinary human existence is like constantly pushing and pulling against demands from the outside world, demands from inside, what we think is going to be good and like get us closer to more resources or status or whatever it is. Like we have this internal primal instinctual barometer, right? That we're all born with, but that's just ordinary programming. Mm-hmm. And so now I'm at the place of like, oh, I'm starting to feel in my body when like, hormones squirt like half a second faster than my frontal cortex can think. Like I'm starting to pay attention to like, oh shit, that's like adrenaline or cortisol, or like my heart is racing, my breath is slowing down. Like I'm noticing biological changes and shifts and how I just am compulsory, like impulse and instinct to just act and react. And I'm like, that wasn't actually me. Like I didn't think that through. Like that's just like a reaction I'm just like having, and I see that that's ordinary.
It's a reaction.
It's a re. See, this is why I love you. You're so good at this.
I have a fun thought experiment.
Yes.
Because we're talking about, you know, needing to take the different medicine or having like you know, if you go too far in one direction. I'd be curious to kind of bring it back around to ISTA a little bit to like characterize the work that ISTA is doing and look at it. I mean, every body of work exists somewhere, and then there's kind of an opposite on a spectrum and different things. But like, I'm curious as to like, what does it look like maybe to do too much ISTA work, mm-hmm. or to have that diminishing returns?
Yep.
What work would balance out ISTA? What kinds of people wouldn't do ISTA, but really actually fucking need it?
Mm.
You know, those are things I'm kind of curious about.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's so good. I would say, we're talking about medicines. Like if you take too much medicine, it becomes poison.
Yeah.
But if you take just a little bit of poison, it could be medicinal.
Mm.
Right? So ISTA is not for everyone. God, no. I've never made that promise. I hope no one in ISTA made that promise. Like, it's not for everyone, because nothing is for everyone, really. Like, find your own medicine. Find what works for you. What I got out of ISTA for myself is making peace with my body. Just making peace, like, okay, this is the body I'm born into. This is the body I live in. And just discovering and uncovering all the self-hatred I had towards my own self, my own body, right?
Like your physical self in that way?
Physical body. Or,
okay.
Physical body.
Yeah.
Yeah. Physical body. So that was definitely one of the first things, is like making peace with my physical human body and feeling more comfortable in my own skin. And not pretending and not stretching and not trying to be something I'm not, right? But really like taking layers off. Like really what I got out of ISTA wasn't to learn something else. Like nothing was put on me that I learned, but it was more like unlearning BS programming and like bullshit stories, and feeling encouraged and empowered to like find my own truth, right? And it's like, I mean, some of the hardest things is like to answer is like, how are you? Or just be yourself. That's a really fucking hard thing to do. It's like, what? But I've been wrestling with those two questions or statements, and I'm like, oh, I'm starting to, it's starting to become tangible. Like it's starting to like have a handle on it, right? So I don't think it's just for everyone. I think it's for people who are looking for a controlled environment to experience and just play with having conversations to embody or like experience and express cathartic release, emotions, and to talk about sex or explore different sacred sexual like healing modalities or rituals. And you know what we talked about earlier, right? You were saying like, I don't take myself too seriously. I don't. And I know how to hold what's sacred, sacred, right? Like how to be in a space of stillness or quiet or reverence or honor or what's sacred. And being able to have that transmission, right? Like it's a certain way of acting or being, like muscle memory. It's like almost like learning how to swing a bat or like swing a golf, you know, club. Is that what it's called? Club?
Sure. I think so. I don't know. I don't golf.
I'm trying to use a sports metaphor without being a sports person, but something having to do with sports and like learning different skills to achieve the goal, right? Or like learn the game.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's to me what ISTA has provided. And learning how to like swing the bat of life, like, right? Like, for example, how to have a safer sex conversation.
Sure.
Right? Like we talk about that. We teach that at ISTA. Or like wheel of consent. Like what does consent mean? What does boundaries mean? And boundaries not just like verbal, may I, X, Y, Z, yes or no.
Sure.
Like people poppy poop robot mode versus like, okay, what does an energetic boundary feel like in my body? Like how does my body respond and react? And I need that in a group container to be with other people to like have that experience, right? But I don't think ISTA is the totality of life, like some kind of achievement award, right? Like,
well, for sure. Yeah,
it's a peak experience. And if someone's chasing that high of a peak experience, it doesn't matter if it's ISTA or psychedelics or Burning Man or some other, you know, hallucinogenic, right? Like, or falling in love, like serial dating, right? Serial falling in love. Like I'm looking for the one, right?
Mm-hmm.
there's different ways where we get attached to some kind of outcome or high or experience that we're chasing. So if there's a chase for a peak experience, like ista no ista, like it's, that's what you're creating, is chasing that.
So what would be like the, what would be a good medicine for someone who's done a ton of istas? I'm curious. And yeah. I'm not like I don't have the answer in my mind. I'm just sort of like thinking it out loud.
In a vacuum thought experiment, if someone's done too much ista, like
what are they probably missing in their life?
I would say what was missing for me, because I'm one of those people who did too much ista, uh-huh. right? Like I took a pause on like traveling and trainings right now. I love ista. I'm still very much a part of ista
sure.
in the community and energy sense with sure. the projects I'm doing and how I'm involved. But as far as like doing ista trainings,
sure,
right?
Sure,
like
sure.
specifics, for me, it's having a house and grounding and nesting
yeah.
and having routine and having a schedule
right.
and not being afraid of like, doing the day to day, right? Like I wake up,
right,
I have
right.
a morning routine. I go to work. I'm working. Yeah. I take lunch. I have a lunch hour. Like I, you know,
you mentioned yeah, chasing the highs. And right. I think that there's part of that.
It's finding the sacred in the mundane.
Mm-hmm.
It's finding a moment of prayer while I'm flossing and brushing my teeth.
Right.
It's going to bed in my own bed that I own, like, you know, with my stuff, like in my house, grounded and nesting and self-pleasuring in my own space, like as a practice, right? Like, so it's like taking some of these teachings or tools or ways of being and actually just like applying it, right? There's a reason why they cut all of the quote unquote mundane out of movies and TV shows, right? Because it's kind of like boring. It's not the like... Right. high climax or whatever that adds to the story.
Mm-hmm.
So to me, that has been really supportive for my feeling more integrated and centered, instead of chasing these peak experiences, which I did. I was a workshop junkie,
right?
For 10
right.
years I did that. And right. I'm like, okay, actually I just want to like live and be in it.
And I think conversely, what I've seen, not having done ista, but having a lot of friends and watch people go through it.
Mm.
Like a classic person who really benefits from ista is like someone who's like newly divorced, right? And it's because they're doing the opposite of what you were
yeah.
saying. They're going from a very structured, yes. mundane,
right.
but also beautiful
yeah.
like thing. And they're just exploding
yeah.
their life open.
Yeah.
That's interesting. I mean, again, it's everything's just on that spectrum of things that we need balance for. But yeah, that's I'm thinking of one friend in particular. Yeah, it's just like, yes, she was great.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's interesting. And like ista has that quality of it, where it's going to be incendiary. It's going to give you that. And then, you know, I think there can be a, like, if, yeah, I don't know. It's, you can, I've also seen, and I'm thinking of another friend, like he, like, you know, maybe is like, he's just jumping from cloud to cloud.
Mm,
right. And literally ista training to ista training sometimes, but it's also like festival to festival.
Mm.
And there's a kind of disorder that happens when people do too much of that, which it might look like addiction. It might look like, you know, just like there's like an emptiness.
Mm.
It's a hungry ghost kind of feeling, right? You know, and again, I'm not trying to make any statements about people should or shouldn't do ista, should or shouldn't do Tony Robbins, meditation, Vipassana, whatever, all that
yeah.
stuff. But we're talking about diversity. And I think
right.
it's often the case that when we're in these communities and we go to these workshops, people may hear us say, you know, there is no one path. And they'd be like, oh yeah, of course. But you don't see the forest through the trees until sometimes years
yeah.
into a community,
yeah,
you know, like that. And then it's kind of like you, and if you did it in a healthy way, people were like, what are you doing, man? What do you mean you only did like two trainings and you're good?
Right.
Now, but you're an all-star and you could keep going. And it's like, no, man, it's like pro football players who retire before their body's just broken.
Yeah.
I remember this guy, Tiki Barber, one time, he's a running back and he just like, he was a famous running back and he just retired. He was just like, and they were asking him why. He's like, I have a life. I don't know. I want to like hang with my kids and just like, I played a lot of football. It was great, but, and I, sure I could play five more years, but I don't need more money. I don't need this, you know, like, and that's beautiful. And I think that, you know, especially certain personalities want to just devour the entire thing. And then, yeah, that's a way, that's a choice. I mean, you know, but like that balance, people say I'm all about balance because I'm a Libra, but you know, it's true. I am all about balance. So they're right in that way. But yeah, I think that's important, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
There was a time in my life where I thought balance was boring, right? Or harmony or peace was like boring. And I'm so glad I'm on the other side of that now, where I think, you know, my husband being like, baby, I got us health insurance. And I'm like, oh, honey, that is so sexy.
Yeah.
You know, and we're newly married. It's been a bit over a year now. You were at our wedding.
That's right.
Yeah. So fun. And he's like, yeah, we filed taxes as a married couple for the first time, you know, like we're adulting AF and it's so nice.
Yeah.
To do something and be something that I resisted for so long. And I like shunned and I was like, I will never be a part of that, you know? And
it's not that that was good or bad.
Yep.
It's not that the intensity junkie was good or bad.
Right.
It's that they were both needed.
Yep.
I'll bring in another name of someone who I don't think most ISTA people have a relationship with, but he's kind of been in the lore for a while. This guy named David Cates, who is someone who's been a kind of a father figure to me and kind of a mentor and someone I've known for a while. And we used to talk on the phone every week. And I would, you know, just, it was like a coaching light thing. I paid him almost nothing, but it was still just like, I just kept talking to this guy cause he was brilliant. And he said something once that I just absolutely love. And I've always thought about, and it's like, he said, maybe the point of life is to just fully live each stage of it. And for some people that means their super adult stage was in their 20s.
That's right.
Kind of for me.
Right.
I was a Navy officer, you know, driving humongous aircraft carriers and managing divisions. And then when I was 30 as a professional musician going to Burning Man. So I mean, it's like, it's not like the phases don't have to look like a certain thing, but it does look like allowing for change. And it looks like being like, hey, look at that. Yeah. Health insurance. Like I'm doing this, I'm doing this phase right now. And that's just what it is. And you don't get to choose that phase. I think my experience is like life starts to give you hints when you're ready for the next phase. And if you don't listen, life's just going to be like, hey, 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 you know, smack. And it's just like, and you can choose to not listen. You can choose to numb out and all that kind of stuff. And again, I'm someone who I love the crazy vagabondy lifestyles. Don't get me wrong. I am not here to tell people that the way is to settle down and all that. It really like, whatever, I don't care.
Yeah.
But it's like when that message comes, you know, or when it comes like for me in the last year, you know, like it's been like, hey, you know, that settled down routine thing that you like, I think it's time to hit the road again.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay. And it's different than the way I hit the road 10 years ago, you know, but it's like, yeah, it's just really letting yourself go to these places. Cause like life has that built in diversity. It'll help you. Yep. It'll tell you which way to go, you know, I think. And, it's not always going to be who you think you should have, you are, or that, you know, what I had this idea about myself or what I was going to be or my 10-year plan or this and that. And it's just like, boy, I don't know. I mean, you can do that stuff. You can force it.
Yeah.
And I've seen, you know, watch people force it and that's hard.
It's hard.
But, you know, it's crazy that way.
I feel lucky to be where I am. I'm happy with it. I face my, you know, struggles head on. And yeah, I like what you said earlier. I mean, there's so much you're saying that's like resonating and hitting the nail on the head. And you talked about responsibility and like leadership from many moons ago. And that is the new stage and development that I'm like, and threshold that I'm really like crossing into and holding. It's like, now I am accountable. Mm-hmm. I'm accountable in my community here in San Diego.
Right.
I'm accountable to my husband, to Kenny,
you taxes know, and
I'm accountable to the government and insurance. Yeah. And like, you know, yeah, my name is like, you know, in the system, and I have clients that I'm working with. Like, I'm accountable to people.
Yeah.
And I'm responsible, and I'm holding the point of leadership. And seriously, I'm like, holy shit. I understand why divorce is 50%. Mm-hmm. Like, I get it. It's fucking right. hard. I'm yeah. surprised it's not higher.
Yeah.
Right? I'm like, holy shit. I can see how people can crumble under the pressure of being pulled and pushed in so many directions and like losing their sense of self or identity and just like, mm-hmm. you know, checking out and like going on autopilot.
Right.
Like, it's so much to process. Like, I get it now.
Yeah.
And thinking about accountability and thinking about responsibility and thinking about leadership, like, it feels heavy, right? Like, there's a density to it. There's a sure. weight to it.
Yeah.
And I was having a conversation with a really good friend who's a clinical psychologist. And he was like, you know what? It should feel heavy. Mm-hmm. Like, why would it feel light? Like, it's, we're yeah. playing with people's psyches or lives or impression or influence, like, to really understand your power. Mm-hmm. Right? Like, so I take that very seriously. I take that seriously, right? Or I don't know if maybe taking it seriously is the right terminology, but it's like, I hold that as sacred, mm-hmm. right? So knowing when to show up and how to hold that space of like, eat the humble pie, like telling myself like, shut up, you know, listen and learn, like listen to learn. Right? Not listen to rebuttal or listen to defend or listen to attack. It's like listening to learn. And it's such a different quality of listening and listening to learn. Like, the knee jerk reaction is like, well, if I don't say anything, am I agreeing implicitly? Right? But it's like even letting those inner dialogues and thoughts like subside and just like be in it. Like, the power's in the pause, right? Like, and I'm holding that mantra for me because that's just the stage where I'm at in my life, and that's helping me, right? Especially my marriage, mm-hmm. right? Like, Kenny is so good at saying all the things that trigger all my buttons, right? Like, I've got adrenaline and cortisol squirting through my body and my system way faster than I can bite my tongue. Mm-hmm. And it's like, ah, like in those moments, in that like, that crunch of like tension that builds up in my body and I want to just like say something to release the tension. Mm-hmm. Ooh, like exhaling and pausing and listening and saying, you know what? What if there's a good reason? Like, why Kenny's saying that? What if there's a good reason why something's happening? Like, what can I learn from this? Like, where's my responsibility in this? Like, how do I take this in? Right. And it has to start on an individual level.
Yeah.
Like, well, let alone organizational.
It's sweet that I think your relationship with Kenny has brought you here because it makes sense. I think that has been kind of the medicine for both of you as a couple is accountability, essentially.
Yeah.
It's such a boring, weird word, but like, you know, it's like, that's.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like,
yeah.
No, we can't just be teenagers here.
Yeah. Yeah. Seriously.
And that's the thing that's worked for you guys.
Yeah.
And it's like, and so then where you're at now is an extension of the thing that's been wanting to come in mm-hmm. to your life mm-hmm. that you kind of did together. Mm-hmm. And yeah, you know, it's
yeah.
cool.
Yeah. Accountable. I mean, and I love the way he shared it with me. Like, accountability seems like this like foreign, giant, authoritarian like entity at one point. And I'm like, accountability, it's so masculine, you know. And Kenny was just like so matter of fact. He's like, accountability just means like you're being accountable. Like it's just accounting. Like it's checks and balances. Like
it's, the opposite of accountability is really that. That really shows you why accountability is so great.
Yeah.
Because the opposite of accountability is, yeah, just sucks. I mean, it's like it's it's just like fleeing the scene of a crime. You know, basically
right, that's right,
like
yeah.
that's the opposite yeah. of accountability. Yeah. It's like. No, I hit that car.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what I mean. It's not fun.
Right.
But it's a lot more fun than getting fucking chased by the cops.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
like you can't run. I mean, that is the nature of it is it's like, yeah, you can't run from this stuff.
Yeah.
And like, we can try to run. We can like, you know, again, in a certain lives, certain parts of our life, this makes sense. But like, let's say we're doing it out of a delusion. We can go from festival to festival. Mm. We can rack up credit card debt. We can do all that stuff. We can try to run and can't.
Yeah.
And again, for some people at some moments, racking up credit card debt and going to festivals is the way because there is medicine there too. But like, yeah, man, you know.
That was the medicine for me. I went to all the festivals. I racked up all the credit card debts. And it was fucking fantastic, Dave. Like, it was so good. Yeah. I did all the psychedelics. I could get my, like, 20-year-old hands on using my student loans and paying for, like, Burning Man's for me and a lover. Like, I did that. I got to rub my nose in it, right? Yeah. And now I'm in the stage of I just paid off. Two credit cards. Mm-hmm. I have one more to go.
Ooh, damn! Ooh.
Ow, ow, ow! I know.
I'm gonna take a shot after this. Come on.
Like, I'm like, okay, now we're adulting. Like, I got to do the festival hopping, the psychedelics, the debt, and now I'm in the stage of like, being accountable to my actions and paying off the credit card debt and having a financial plan, and like, this is where I'm at right now. And I never knew how satisfying it was gonna be. Mm-hmm. I was so afraid. Yeah. Right? But it's like, it's really satisfying because I'm learning that I can't lie to myself.
Yeah.
I try, you know, but then I get all sorts of like twisted in my, like, there's something not working. Like I feel like, you know, my upper half of my body is moving in one direction and the bottom half is going somewhere else. Like I feel distorted.
Yeah.
And it's uncomfortable.
Yeah.
So I'm like, all right, I need to like come back to the basics and like really find, what do I love? What am I good at? But what is actually going to bring value to the world and to my marriage and like the harmony of it all? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I want to bring this back around to something that was not my intention coming into this, but I think it's relevant and it's sort of like an elephant at this point for me, which is like, this is what Ista has been going through.
Mm-hmm.
You know, again, I've kind of had a front row seat to some of the inner circle conversations, not all of them. Some of them I have no seat to, but this is like the growing up.
Yeah.
Hopefully we're not through it yet. We haven't gotten to the stage where we're like, oh, fucking accountability. Ooh, paying off the credit cards. Like that's, I don't think that's right. where it's at yet.
Yeah, yeah.
I think it's a little bit of a like, I want to go to the next fucking festival.
Right.
Like, I think there's like, I don't want to get a job. I don't want to do the taxes. Like, and I get it, like I said, but like there's been a, I don't know if I have to say, not a consequence free, but like there's been a, I think for 15 years or so, there's been a relationship to consequences that hasn't completely come back around in a way that has allowed the greater organization to go from festival to festival in that metaphor, or, you know, to live out the teachings that it does.
Mm.
Right. It's all interestingly woven, I think. And it's funny because like, I talked with, I sat with Bruce, last Thanksgiving. He came over my house, and him and Winter had a really nice conversation. And one of the things that we both I think we both agree on, or both kind of feel, is a sense of like, I think at the time there was a curiosity, like, where is ISTA going and does it need to lose its teeth? Mm. In the, what we're talking about, like, does it need to settle down and do all the, does it need to be a homemaker? Does it need to, you know? And I think we, him and I both kind of lament that that might be the case. Mm. I don't, like, I run, you know, retreats in the complete dark for people that have never met each other. Like, I love risk.
Yeah.
I love it. You know, and so I think edgy work is so beautiful and important. Mm. And I'm not here trying to turn any organization or anybody away from that. But if there's a, if the, but if things are out of balance, mm. then mm. what often needs to come in yeah. is that this isn't sexy, but we're just brushing our teeth because right. you need to brush your teeth because you're going to get cavities and right. it's going to really hurt.
Yeah.
When that dentist yeah. puts a fucking drill in your mouth, yeah. you know? And so I think that's a good metaphor for what's yep. happening probably throughout the organization. And again, I think it's in a different, I think I'm optimistic that it will get to a place. And I think some of the teachers and some of the leaders are there, mm-hmm. you know, in their minds where they like, hey, like this can be sexy too, mm-hmm. you know? But yeah, I think that's just sort of a full circle-ish thing since we, kind of, that's what we've been doing.
Yeah.
The last year or so.
Yeah. I think it's powerful.
Yeah.
And, ISTA is growing up. And I mean, I can't speak on behalf of right ISTA. Like, I'll speak for myself and the people that I know. It's like, I'm listening, right? Like, I'm listening, I'm learning. I'm in a pause to be like, all right, what's really happening here, right? And it's like the, what is it? Like, there's something with the means. Like
the means?
Yeah. Like,
the end justifies the means.
The end justifies the means. Like, uh-huh. that's not this, right? Yeah. Like, the yeah. end does not justify the means.
Sure.
We need to like say, whoa, 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 let's slow down. Like, there are people coming forward, and if we're causing harm or if we're causing upset or something, like if something's happening, like, yeah, we need to recalibrate.
Or it's like, it's about getting in a more of a right relationship yes. with consequences.
Yes, yes.
Because that is accountability.
Yes, yeah. And it's big, right? It's not like it's any one person. It's mm-hmm. like when it comes to an organization, it's compiled of many different people and a lot of different personalities and a lot of different like power dynamics and like, you know, politics. Like, that's just human nature. Like, this mm-hmm. these are the parts of human condition we can't escape.
Right.
And it's like, okay, how can we learn? Can we actually learn? Like, I don't know personally with all the workshop junkie and cults I've been a part of, mm-hmm. I don't know any organization that's like, okay, let's listen.
Yeah.
Let's listen. Let's take this in. We're not good at listening, right? Because we haven't actually right. practiced it before. We're practicing listening mm-hmm. and we're practicing receiving feedback. And like, who the fuck is good at taking feedback? I had to do a 4-day weekend workshop of like pure unadulterated, like hardcore feedback where I just got yelled at for 4 days straight.
Where was this?
This was intense. This was like, some masochistic like Damn. Workshop shit, you know? And Kenny sent it to me. He was like, you need to learn how to take feedback in. I'm sending you to this weekend workshop. And he sent me to receive what they call dark feedback. So for 4 days straight, I got yelled at.
Thing? No.
No. Okay. This is so another dark. Organization okay. I will yeah. not name.
Okay, got it.
But it was intense, to say the least. Okay. But I came out of that 4 days, even though I fucking hated it, I came out with deeper appreciation for feedback.
Okay.
And I was like, oh, I have a different relationship because I have a different reference point for feedback. After being yelled at and being called all the fucking names in the goddamn book, right? And like,
I kind of secretly want to go to this workshop.
Oh my God. It's like, it's kinky. It's very kinky. It's really kinky. Yeah. It's kinky. I'll give you the deets. Yeah.
But after feeling all that, you felt like,
I appreciate it more.
Yeah.
But I only got it 'cause I'm stubborn. I'm stubborn and I'm disagreeable and like...
You're not that stubborn and disagreeable. Yeah, you're also kind of agreeable sometimes.
Okay, well, you know, I'm still Japanese, right?
Like, yeah.
But okay, there's a part of me that's stubborn and a part of me that's disagreeable and a part of me that's a skeptic.
Sure.
And like doesn't believe a lot of things.
Yeah.
And especially like with Kenny, who I'm so... He's like the person I'm most comfortable with in the entire world, right? Like he gets my best and worst self.
Yeah.
And I like just give it to him straight. And then he's like trying to talk to me like, hey, pay attention. Like, you're not taking responsibility. You're not taking accountability for like whatever it was. Right. Right. Maybe like something I said, a promise I made, a commitment I made, you know, finances, like health, like whatever it was with him, because he sees me. He sees most of me more than anyone else. And he's like, Rhea, here's feedback, like here's accountability. And like, yes, he could work on his bedside manner and his delivery, which is a lot.
It's a good thing he's so fucking cute.
It's he's so lucky. He's fucking handsome and like cute. Yes, you're right. But I would just fight him. And I would just use this big broad brushstroke and just fight everything he said whenever he said it, because it would always just trigger that part of me that was so defensive, and I couldn't appreciate feedback until I got yelled at for 4 days straight and went through a process and an experiment of learning, wait, feedback is actually love. Feedback is growth. Like if someone's taking the time and energy and effort, instead of just ignoring me or avoiding me or just like putting me in some kind of box, they're like giving me direct feedback. Like
they care. Yeah.
They care. Even if they're like, I hate you. Like, it's like, why would you bother even sharing that with me instead of just like writing me off?
Yeah.
Right.
Totally.
Like,
no, I'm with you.
So it's like, I wasn't getting apathy or like getting like, it totally ignored, right? Yeah. So like even the energy that we're receiving of like dark feedback, it's like, how do we listen in a way to actually learn and recalibrate? And it's not the same thing as like putting our tail between our legs and being like, you're right, we were so bad. When like, that's not what I'm saying here. It's like, whoa, why isn't the conversation going towards listening and growth and integration and calibration, right? If we're standing for love, freedom, and power,
right?
Like,
well, the tough thing, you know, again, to talk about this through the organizational context with ISTA too, is that it's right now you have people doing the accountability phase. Like, I've kind of joked, I think we were joking about this in Costa Rica actually with some of the newer ISTA teachers. She's like, oh man, like, if you're coming at an interesting time, you know, because, you know, it's like when you or I go through these phases and we were wild and now we're accountable and then like we got to be wild.
Yeah.
But as an organization that's been around for 15 years, if you just joined up or if you joined up like 6 years ago or whatever, there was kind of this, like, if you were and now there's some people who fucking love the accountability. So good for them, you know? And I'm thinking of one person in particular and she's wonderful, but like, if you're more of the wild and crazy and you came for the ecstatic experience, then that there was a golden age for that maybe 10 years ago or something, you know? I don't know. And so it's tough because some people are paying the bill for things that other people spent.
Yep.
And then it's like, you know, that's not my credit card. No, that is your credit card now.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah.
And that's a bummer. And I think this is something, this is a conversation I've been having with one of the teachers in particular. He and I have been working on, well, anyways. So it's like, I don't like, I get it. Like, this is, he's a really sweet guy.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have any, and I'm like, I'm sorry that you're paying the bill.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry that you have this credit card debt.
Mm-hmm.
You also have a legacy of a lot of wonderful things too. It's not that, but it's like what I think is happening now. Yeah, is less like, let's go to Ibiza and rack up, like buy all the drinks.
Right. Right.
That's just not where you're at.
Yeah.
Maybe in 10 years. Yeah. I don't know. But like, that's what makes it tough. And I think a lot of people maybe that have been in the ISTA community for a while, maybe don't feel like it's fair.
Right.
It probably isn't fair.
Yeah.
That sucks.
Yeah.
I don't know what to do about that, but you know,
welcome to nature, right? Nature is not fair. She is one really, really beast. You know, I was thinking like pre-2020, it was like cool and in to be like, oh yeah, I travel. Like I'm a jet setter. Like look at all the places I go to and like rent fancy Airbnbs and like do fucking videos and like, you know, coaching programs, right? Like there was a golden age for that. And then 2020 happened and it's like fucking stay home to save lives. Yeah. Like, you know, political swinging. Like there was a strong line that was drawn in the sand.
Sure.
Right. And it polarized the living shit out of people more than before.
Well, it was also so tragic for the people who like, just take a, like I'm following some musicians around that time and they just started to like, they were just starting to get like a lot of traction in 2019. Yeah. They're about to go on these tours and sold out things. And then it's like, but I got lucky because like I'd been kind of just working my ass off and going crazy. And then I was settled into this beautiful community out in the countryside. And then 2020 came along and I'm like, oh, thanks. That was the break I needed. Yes. And yes, I will. Yes. And I'm going to have a good old time building a tiny house and gardening and all that shit. Like it was perfect timing in the cycles, you know? And depending on where you were in the cycle, 2020 was either great news or shit news, you know, because maybe that was your book tour, you know, you wanted to like launch something into the world or you wanted to go travel, you wanted to do all these things. And it's just like, you know, the cycle, everybody's cycle got chosen for them.
That's right.
You know, you're at the home cycle right now. Yeah. And for some people that was a blessing and beautiful and some people wasn't and everything in between, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. If it weren't for the shutdown in 2020, Kenny and I wouldn't be together.
Oh, really?
Like we actually we broke up. I moved out and I wasn't like speaking to him. And it was one of those like very dramatic, like F you, I'm moving out. Here's my middle finger. Like it was bad. It was not good.
Yeah.
Situations. And I left, I moved out the beginning of February, 2020.
Oh.
And then the pandemic hit San Diego at least like mid to late March. Yeah. And everything shut down. And then it was like, well,
hey, what are you doing? You got a room still over there?
Like, so we weren't living together, but we were just weekend lovers. Like we were part of each other's quarantine bubble.
Okay, during the pandemic.
Yeah, during the pandemic. And it's like, hey, like we're not getting back together.
And that started to work for you.
Like we're
that,
just
that sex. Rhythm, right?
Yeah, that it was great. Yeah. That rhythm was great. It was like, we're not getting back together. We're just having sex. Like we're like, we love each other. We've been together, but like, yeah, this is like, let's get through this pandemic together, you know?
Yeah.
And now we're married, fast forward. So,
right. But, and as you gave me a tour of your house and we got to see, like you've incorporated some of those lessons of, of let's not be on top of each other. Let's have our own spaces. Right. You know. And like, let's do that.
Yeah.
And that's beautiful. And then, and, in a way, just because I keep wanting to do the thing. And it's just like, okay, cool. So there we are. We vagabond credit card debt. And then we're home and paying our taxes. And then like, but the more I think we go through these cycles, the more it looks, I don't know, there's a blend. It's a blend. Yeah. It's not, it's, you know, when, if you, you know, if you go back to another cycle that looks like wild and crazy,
right?
It's just going to make more sense.
Yeah.
I think, you know, and I, you know, I'm going back to, that phase. And the last time I was in that phase when I was with Paola. Right. And so we broke up in 2016 and then I went into the homie phase and it was like, now I'm going back to it, but like I got more money and I got more, I'm more stable. I'm building a Sprinter van. I'm building out a home that I can take wherever I go.
Oh, I love
like,
it.
Like that is not roughing it. You know, I am going to be a stable motherfucker.
Yeah.
Just on wheels.
So hot.
Going around, you know, to different events and festivals and playing music and all that stuff. And it's like, that's a different Dave than of like 28 years old, 12 years ago. Right.
Right.
And then the example of like what you, where you and Kenny are now, and you see, oh, like you're not on top of each other, but you're not living across town. Like you've actually, you're slowly calibrating and getting more toward not the center, but like the truth of what works for you.
Yes.
You know, much like we talked about how when you get getting older, like in your 30s, it's kind of about reckoning with who you actually are versus who you want to be, you know? And it's like that relationships go through that too. It's like, yeah. Oh, what I want my relationship to look like versus what my relationship actually looks like. That's what Vicky and I have been going through, where it's like, you know, we're kind of, we let go of the primary partnership part of our relationship last year, at the end of last year. And it started to just work better. And I was like, huh.
Yeah.
All right. I don't know. I honestly would take like 30 seconds to actually talk about what we are. It's so hard to put a label on at this point, but we know that it works better.
Right.
And we know us living in a house together is not our best life. Mm. Living in a community at two tiny houses is. We like that. We're probably about to go do something similar like that again, but we're not going to live in the same space. And it's like, huh, it's just this, you know, the cycles and iterating and calibrating. It's just so cool. Like, it's cool to do things, and it feels like growing up and maturing. And I'm like a responsible hedonist now or something or whatever it is, you know? And it's like, it's pretty sweet.
Yeah.
You know, but you got to let yourself go to those and swing back and forth.
Yes.
And feel that. And you know, that's life.
It's so good.
That's life.
Yeah.
That's what all the people say. Yeah.
We're going to need to get some songs on here.
Yeah.
I think that's definitely happening. I'm feeling that vibe.
Yeah.
And everything you just said, it's like, and it's not boring.
It's not only boring,
fucking boring
if you stay in it too. If you stay in the phases too long, if you like, overstay your welcome into these phases.
Overstay the welcome or get like codependent on a stage or like needy on it and just like try to grasp right out of like desperation.
Anything can get boring.
Yes.
Like doing heroin every day at a different festival, having sex with three hot people every, like that can get boring.
It cannot, you know,
I can't tell you that from experience, but I do believe that could get really boring.
Well, I had a lover who would say, you see that hot like woman over there, like easy, like she's so hot, I would give anything to like make love with her, and there's someone out there who's bored of fucking her.
Yeah, of course,
right? Like,
for sure.
but like, he's like, but I would love to, and I can see how everyone will get bored of something somehow, right?
Oh, for
just
sure.
Monotony or overdoing it, like anything. Again, too much medicine becomes poisonous,
right?
So it's like it's grappling with fleeting moments, knowing that it's never going to last forever, but that's what makes it so fucking precious. Mm-hmm. And to appreciate that and to wake up to that, right? Instead of just keep being on autopilot.
And if that, and the person that's bored of fucking her, which not that I'm going to try to solve, like, you know, the mating and captivity problem in relationships, like I certainly haven't, but it's like, but speaking of Esther Perel, like she said something once that I loved, and it wasn't in a masterclass thing. I think it was this interview, like long form listening. And somebody asked her like about her own relationship. And she was like, well, she's like, I've been married several times, but I've been married several times to the same person.
Yes.
You know, and again, she wasn't taking a stand for monogamy or, you know, she had just also, I think, probably commented on how longevity is not a good metric for necessarily for success and all that stuff. But her point was that, like, you know, that, and I think she was humble about it too. She wasn't like, we made it work. We made every season of our marriages work. No, like she's like, every time that came up, like we shifted and there we are again. Mm. It's like, you know, and it's like, and I think that's, you know, if you're bored of fucking someone, like I said, I don't feel at all qualified to try to solve this, but like you've been fucking the person that from 5 years ago, maybe.
Right.
Right. Like you're like, who is that here? Yeah. You know, like how do we, like we're only bored of the people that we're not learning from. There's nothing curious. There's nothing new there. Mm. You know, and again, I've been just as guilty as anybody. So I'm not trying to like make myself sound like I figured this out, but you know, it's real.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Anyone who says they figured it out and has all the answers, like I'm skeptical and wary of that. Like,
we figured that out.
We figured out that not having figured it out is the way to go, people.
That's true. Join our cult. The cult of not knowing.
The cult of not knowing.
We go around and with baseball bats, and when people say they know stuff, we beat the crap out of them.
It's so intense.
Yeah.
Yeah. But this is, it's so good. Again, the more I learn, the less I fucking know. Yeah. And it's actually so much more rewarding to listen, to move with life and move with people in a way that it feels calibrated and aligned to like what I value and my principles, and like just coming back to fundamentals, right? Because it's too easy to fall into the trap of wanting to look good, wanting to be liked, wanting to belong, wanting to be accepted, like constantly being so external focused, mm-hmm. and losing touch with the internal compass, with the internal knowing, like intuition. And it's not that like narcissistic voice, which I also have in my head, like, look how good we're doing, right? Mm-hmm. Like, it's not giving into that, but it's like going for the more subtle realms, the more nuances, where that voice is quiet.
Yeah.
Where that ego isn't shouting at me, and I can be with the whispers. I can hear the birds, I can hear nature, and I can hear a deeper calling, like to find that inner peace, if you will.
Yeah. Just listening. Growing up, man.
Maybe that was
the theme for this episode.
Yeah,
or something.
Growing up with Dave Buddha.
Growing up and other boring shit with Rhea and Dave.
That's right.
And yeah, this is gonna, the nobody's phase gonna where listen to it. All the Insta people are gonna scroll through that and go, yeah, fuck that. I ain't growing up. That's not why I came
That's
here.
That's not what I came here to do.
Yeah. Where's wild, ecstatic, blissful,
right,
shamanic, poochas or something, you know? Scroll.
Yeah. And you know, that's important for people who are, that's where they're at.
Yeah.
Right. Like this.
Yeah.
Is
no.
Where,
like I said. Hey.
Yeah,
I get it. Like
exactly.
That's why no one's gonna listen to it, and that's just okay. We may need to like farm this out to like a different podcast that like cares about this stuff. I mean, whatever. I mean, we care about it too, but
we
it's
do.
Different. You know.
Like
maybe next, and when we do, we'll just try to do. We'll try to do another one. We just tell just the raciest. We try to, you know, I don't know. We couldn't do that.
Yeah.
It's
not
real for us.
Raciest, not racist.
Raciest. Yeah. Like. Yeah. Yeah. Like we could just come out with. I don't know. We'll have to. I don't know, but it's where we are. It's where you are in your life, and also where I am in relationship to Ista, right? Like,
right.
I don't think in my own personal life I'm there. Like I'm throwing some crazy ass sex parties. Like don't get me wrong. Like I am not settling down. That's just not what's up for me right now. But in my relationship to Issa, that's the theme. So that's what was here. That's what's alive. Growing up is alive.
Growing up and being perpendicular.
Perpendicular.
Yeah. Like I remember my first Tony Robbins event, 2010, New Jersey. Right. I was in that relationship I was telling you about, 24 years old, with the broke, tall, dark, and handsome, right?
Trash bag guy.
Trash bag guy. And we went to Tony Robbins' event together.
Yeah.
And I just remember being like, oh my God, this is so good. Like I needed Tony Robbins' energy. I needed the jumping up and down, saying yes, make your move.
Yeah,
you know, like quit, like follow your passion and your dreams. Because I was asleep. I was asleep at the wheel, which is why I even ended up in that relationship to begin with.
Yeah.
And I needed to be yelled at.
Oh, okay.
That was the medicine I needed.
Yeah.
So then after that event, I signed up for Tony Robbins, like Master University, and I followed him around the world for 2 years.
Oh, damn.
Yeah. So tens of thousands of dollars later, 2 years later.
Not to mention the 30,000 I paid
for to maintain that lifestyle.
Jesus, man. Yeah.
I mean,
you were spending.
Yeah. I was fucking spending.
That's right.
Yeah. And after 2 years, I was like, okay, I feel complete for now. Like I've been to Tony Robbins events since. I think it's great. And it's like, I feel good on the medicine. Like I've met my quota.
Right. And the tough thing is then the people that do that, but then become, their income starts to depend on it because they've started to teach it.
Right.
You know, and then you have to like, and it's, I mean, economic incentive is a bitch, man. Like someone I loved at a very specific point in my life was Gary Vaynerchuk, right? Yeah. You probably see him around. Mr. Hustle, you know, and it's just like, and I just like, I don't know, I saw him the other day and he's just saying the same damn thing. And I'm just like, I don't know. Mm-hmm. I kind of feel like that was great for him mm-hmm. when he needed it. Mm-hmm. But is he really that? Is that still the medicine he needs? Because, and maybe he's just able to compartmentalize and just go up on stage and be this person and say, hustle, 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 blah, blah, blah. And then go home and be like, I don't need to hustle anymore. I'm like, I'm good.
Right.
I need to like relax and like get a massage or something. But
yeah.
And maybe he's not, but maybe because, you know, maybe that's like, it's so hard to, you know, to look at yourself and be like, well, if I don't preach this anymore, I don't get to live in a fucking fancy house, you know, or drive a fancy car because my livelihood depends on my being at this phase of life. Mm-hmm. Like I can't change, you know, if you're, I mean, it's cool. And I think this is why you've shifted your role with ISTA a little bit and you found more homely, you know, grounded, you know, integration.
That's very
grounding.
Yes.
You know, like it's not a surprise that you've done that. And I'm glad that there's a way for you to stay in touch, but if you, the way for you to stay in touch and stay with ISTA and continue to earn money and this and that was that you'd have to fly to fucking Greece and Australia and you have to do all this and then show up and bring the fucking heat.
Right.
I mean, it's a bummer because then it's like, well, but I just spent 10 years like, or 6 years or whatever, like, you know, building this thing and now I can't do it anymore. Mm. And I think a lot of people go through that and a lot of people choose to be like, I'm not going to listen to the universe. I'm not going to listen to life saying you need to go chill out now. Like, cause sorry, I can't. Mm-hmm. And then what do you do? Well, life knocks harder and all the other shit, but it's a bummer. It's hard. I mean, we didn't know any better when we made our living around that thing.
Right.
I feel really lucky that I made my living doing a thing. I can just play acoustic guitar and sing. And I can play, if I feel one night I want to just go and play fucking James Taylor all night, I can play James Taylor all night. If I want to go play Genuine all night, I'll play Genuine. I can play Motown. I don't care. Like for the most part, I can do whatever I want.
Yeah.
You know, I don't even have a band. Like my friend Bree's in an 80s band.
Right.
She plays 80s music.
Right.
That's it.
Yeah.
That band only plays 80s music.
Yeah.
And that's beautiful. And they make more money than I do because they, you know, but it's like, but you know, would I get bored of playing 80s music? Fuck yeah. I would get bored of playing 80s music. You know, like, so.
Yeah. It's
growing up, cycles of life.
Cycles of life, baby.
Cycles of life.
Yes. The term that's coming to me and what you're talking about is like perverse incentives.
Yeah.
It's like a whole thing.
Totally.
Like
golden handcuffs.
Yeah. Golden handcuffs, golden jail sale, perverse incentives.
Yeah.
Right? Like we keep doing the behaviors that we get rewarded for, even when they no longer are in alignment or congruent or integrated with the stage of development we're entering into.
Right.
Right. And then we start to fracture and split because, hey, I need to pay fucking mortgage.
Right.
And a phone bill. And you know what? I want nice things. So I'm going to go a little cuckoo pants on Amazon, which I did this past weekend. Sorry, Kenny.
That's all and- right. Accountability, Rhea.
Accountability.
You can hear him saying it. There he is, Kenny. And you're
accountability.
But you have to admit, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you know what? I chose a partner who can play with me in accountability in that realm because that's important to me. And I love ISTA and I'm a part of ISTA. And like I feel the spirit of ISTA because I've like communed with it. Like it's not, ISTA to me isn't like another person or another group of people. It's like something deeper for me that's kind of taken on a name of its own. Like people are, again, words fail us. They're hearing one thing, I'm saying another thing, right?
Sure.
And we all have our own relationship to it. And I love that. Like that's part of the sovereignty and the freedom that we all get to do that. But I love the conversation that we're getting to have here, that we get to listen better, learn, recalibrate, like we're building out a whole accountability system and program, but we're new to it and we're right. learning. And who says, okay, like we're learning, we're listening, like, and recalibrating and not going into like just defend mode or, you know, blame mode or whatever it is. Like that takes, it takes something special to be able to do that, right? Like I haven't seen another organization, you know, to put in the hours for mediation or conversations or like to really take it in. And it's not easy. Mm-hmm. It's not an easy walk in the park, light, fun, you know, musical right. night, right?
Like, and again, especially when you hadn't, like, you didn't, like,
right.
you know, it's like when you're not on some level, if we experience this within ourselves as an individual, part of us is like, yeah, I've been to all the festivals. I've seen it all.
Yeah.
I'm good. Yeah. You know what? Maybe it'd be fun to go to Burning Man again or whatever, do the things, but like, let's be honest. Like I fucked all the things.
Yeah.
Know, I did everything. And then, but yeah, again, as an organization, how do you do that?
Right. When
maybe you didn't get to fuck all the things. You know?
Right.
And
right.
you're making the accountability programs. And maybe you did. And I don't know, whatever, you know, but it's like, it's complex when it's yeah. When it's an organization
yeah.
group.
Yeah. yeah. So, okay. So you're a music guy. Maybe you'll appreciate this metaphor and work with me because I'll do my best. But it's like, I grew up in the 90s, right? Mm-hmm. 90s Jersey, right? Like hip hop and R&B.
What exit?
Like,
that's the classic Jersey
yeah, yeah,
joke.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. yeah. Like Boston. Route 4, Bell, you know, Bell Avenue, right? Like,
yeah.
It's like, and I just remember being like in middle school and just music was our life, like mm-hmm. middle school, teenage, young, you know, kids, right? Like,
yeah. What was your favorite band when you were in middle school? Like,
I mean, like I was listening to like Biggie and Tupac and like just
yeah.
hip hop and R&B, cool. right? Like that yeah. was my life, yeah. right? And just being so invested in it and like Usher just came out and I like learned all his lyrics. Like it yeah. was just like big into that. And then I remember seeing my younger sister, 4 years younger, she got to be that age and she was listening to different music. And I was like, uh-huh. wait, she's having a totally different experience. Like, I'm like, oh my God, music shaped like the time period and like where I am in my life. Like it really shaped this. But then it's different for the next generation and it keeps changing. And then and if I'm only having my own subjective reality of like what's happening, then it's so different and so far removed, like just based on like the music we're listening to. Mm-hmm. So this again is like, you're saying, hey, people are coming in new to ISTA right now and they're racking on credit card debt that they didn't spend. Right. But it's mm-hmm. like, but that's all they know.
Sure.
That's all the music that they know in the genre. Like that's part of what pulls and attracts them or repels them. And it's like, yeah, it's a bummer or shitty that we have to like pay for something, you know, from a previous year's debt in a way, mm-hmm. but it's almost like that's part of the medicine or part of the experience
right.
that we're moving towards, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, well, what's that cliche? Like, hard times make hard men make easy times, right. easy times make soft men make hard times.
Right.
And it yeah. just like,
cycles around. Right. Yeah. Right.
So
right.
just where we at.
Right. Yeah. No, it's real.
Like,
yeah. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So I feel lucky that I grew up in both. I've had some hard times and I've had some soft times and I've gotten to like party my face off and I've gotten to really like struggle with, you know, near death experiences and
yeah, you're not going to have a midlife yeah. crisis and, you know, need to buy a sports car in the 40s or something. Right.
Like, right.
Cause that's also what happens, right? It's like,
yeah.
people wake up to that
yeah.
and all of a sudden yeah. they're like, I've never had that. I've never let myself actually
right.
be free and wild.
Yeah.
And that's a thing.
Yeah.
You know, and they need that.
Yeah.
They need a midlife crisis.
Like, yeah.
That's a real thing.
That's right.
It might be judged, but it's needed.
Yeah. So I welcome reality checks and I welcome dynamicism and the nuance of it all. And like, good talk, bro.
Yeah, man.
Good talk, bro. So good.
Yeah.
All right. What else? Is there anything else?
Oh my God, there's more. All right.
There's one more piece. Like, in wrapping up, I want to go into something that we haven't talked about yet, which is quick fire questions.
Ooh.
All right. Spicy. I'm going to ask you a bunch of questions. Whatever comes to mind, like 3 to 5 words or less.
Okay, great.
If you can.
5 inches.
5 inches. Yeah, yeah. Just a tip. Just a tip,
but it's,
right?
It's
yeah.
thick.
So, but before we go into that, is there anything else that you want to like PS?
No, I'm ready. I'm ready for the wildfire lightning questions.
You want the lightning round. All right. You ready for this?
I'm ready.
Da-na-na. What's something new you've done recently?
Been a bad guy with a international organization and become a villain.
Mm.
That's been fun.
Mm.
I do, as you know, and you and I talk about superhero movies a lot, and I've always felt like the villain, the better the villain, the better the movie.
Mm.
That's all. So it's about, and my dog is named Thanos, but that's something I knew I've done.
Mm.
Okay. Lightning round. Here we go.
All right, good. Let's do that. What's the best thing about living in San Diego?
That's a great question. The best thing about living in San Diego is that there isn't a best thing. There isn't one thing that is just so sexy and so, oh my God. And, you know, LA has this, San Francisco has this, Austin has this, New York has this. There's nothing the best about San Diego. It's all just really good.
Mm.
And nothing is the best. And it just scores so high on so many other things. And it's just a sleeper. You don't even realize how good it is because it's not sexy. It's just this like so fucking solid of a city, girl next door kind of shit.
Mm.
That's where it's at.
Damn. All right.
Yeah.
Okay. What happens after we die?
I'm going to say multiverse.
Yeah.
Or like just kind of like another plane of existence.
Mm.
Like I don't know, like quantum realm or something or whatever.
Yeah.
I don't take any of these beliefs seriously. I just ask myself what would be a fun thing to, like, what would be a fun context for living that would make this life more of what I want.
Mm.
And I think saying we just turn it to dirt is stupid. Or I don't think it's just, this is not fun. Like, why? Okay, great. Maybe I'm right. Who cares? I think we go into another dimension and are conscious, but in doing something else, maybe trees, maybe I don't know, something. Maybe not sentient beings either, I don't know.
Mm-hmm. What did you eat for dinner last night?
Leftovers with Vicky. Shepherd's pie leftovers from potluck we did at a community like 3 or 4 days ago. It was great. It was at our friend James and Charmel's house.
Nice.
Yeah.
If you were a piece of furniture, what would you be?
Oh, definitely. Probably that couch. that is the only way to sit in that couch is to cuddle.
That's right.
You can't, like, I'm furniture that, like, it's just like it, you know, you're just going to go toward cuddling.
Right.
Like cuddling is just a given.
Yeah.
An eventuality.
That's right.
That's what that couch is like. It's a couch to describe for people who can't see the couch, which is everybody. it's a normal couch, but it kind of extends out the legs. It's kind of like a chaise lounge, but just all couch. You know, chaise lounge is like the little thing, you know, so it's like you could lay with your legs straight out and they wouldn't hit, they would just go straight out. But then it's like the size of a normal couch. So it's like a big bed.
It's two oversized chaise lounges, a right arm and a left arm that's put together.
Did you
Did they sell them like that, or did
no,
you?
No, we bought it like
that's
that.
That's brilliant.
Yeah, because we
that's
went
how
to
you
the.
You know, you're a play party pro. You can make decisions like that.
Okay, okay. There's a bit of history, and I know we're breaking the quick fire rule game, but that's because we're rebels.
Okay.
But basically, when Kenny and I, you know, first started living together, like I you know, we had a huge, lots of arguments around decoration and learning mm-hmm. how to like match each other's styles and, you know, systems. And like one of the things that we did was I had a mattress on the floor in front of the couch, right? It was like an extended couch, like a place to cuddle, right?
Classic move from our
classic move, right?
Friends.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah, you yeah. go to anyone's house, like you'll just see right. a mattress on the right. floor, right. decorated nicely, pillows, yeah, yeah. you know, throw a blanket, whatevs.
Yeah.
And at first Kenny like was like, no, this is tacky, and I'm like, no, it's for cuddling, honey. And like yeah, he yeah. and then he was like sold. He's like, oh, this is a great idea.
This is how we stand on the shoulders of giants like Kamala Devi and Michael.
That's
mattress
right.
Mattress on the floor
mattress
decorated.
On the floor decorated
with, it'll come in handy. Don't
exactly.
worry.
Exactly. Don't yeah. worry. We're gonna use that. Yeah. So he loved it, the function of it. But then when we bought this house and we're moving up in the world as adults, right. he's like, yeah. all right. Like, we're not in college anymore. We're not like dorm room style anymore. Like, we need to upgrade yeah, this. And I'm like, but honey, we need to be able to cuddle.
Right.
So this is what happens that's when collaboration is done well. We're like, all right. He's like, it needs to be real furniture.
Yeah.
But I'm like, we need to be able to cuddle. So it's like the best of both
and
worlds.
And talk about just a micro example of what we've been talking about. That's about right. how like you go from one extreme, yes. another extreme, and then you find that thing that does both in a mature way. Perfect.
Boom.
Thank you, coach.
Boom. What are you currently learning to embody or understand more deeply in your own practice?
What kind of practice are we talking about? Like
any practice, a practice you do daily.
What am I learning to embody more deeply in the practice? I think I'm learning to be I'm learning to be a better collaborator, I think all the time, especially since moving to the intentional community I was at 5 years ago. Mm. Like this, there's a saying in the intentional community space that the smartest person in the room is the group. Mm. And I just have been saying that to myself so often. Mm. And it's like, my natural tendency is if I'm in a group is to kind of take on some dictator energy, and instead it's like, what do you think? Okay, what do you think? Let's get together. What do you think? And it's like, I feel like it's just, I've been getting better at that. And that's a constant practice to like remember that, like, it would be better if everybody puts their heads together, not just me getting an idea and people saying, yeah, that's good.
Yeah. If you could go back in time, what advice would you give to your younger self?
I don't see. I didn't pick a time. I pick a time in my life, I suppose. I mean, I guess I would just like, I don't know. I never really doubted myself all that much, but you know, just to like really reaffirm that, like just all those decisions and the things that I wanted to do that just at the time, like really felt like, I don't know why I'm doing this, but this feels, I definitely want to do this. And I did it, whether it was bicycling across Europe for 3 months or going to the Naval Academy or quitting the basketball team and joining the wrestling team or leaving the Navy and going to Burning Man or like all those things. Like it just, I wasn't like, I did it. And I would just want to like let myself know at different phases that like, it's all going to make sense. Like this seems like apples and oranges and like a pizza slice and a vase and a beer can, but it's all going to make sense. Like it doesn't at all match and it will, you know? And I think that's even something I don't fully realize now. I'm only 40 years old. There's more, but it's starting to all make sense now in a way that I'm glad I did the weird things. I mean, the classic one, of course, is you know, going to the Naval Academy and mm-hmm. spending 5 years as a Navy officer. Like, how does that fit into all this? It certainly does, you know, so yeah. It's really cool to see it all come together, see how it all made sense.
What's your favorite dessert?
Probably cheesecake.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yum.
Love cheesecake.
Okay. So last but not least, dun, dun, dun. Are you going to do an ISTA?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll do an ISTA. No, I mean, we talked about this. Yeah. And I think it'd be fun. Yeah. I mean, in the same way that I think you and I share the spirit of, I don't know what the word is, whatever this, it's not rebellious, but it's just like out of left fieldness or like, I bet you won't do that. Mm. You know, like how do you like mix things up and how to like, that would, not that that would be that fucking surprising for me, but it's just like, yeah, like it's a very unlikely multiverse, you know?
Yeah.
It's like as we enter the age of like AI, where AI, whether it's art or music or whatever, is basically just is writing the future by just pooling and synthesizing the past and predicting what's going to happen just based on what's happened. This is the human opportunity, is to really just go completely off script and do this kind of, have this like, you know, experience that no one could have ever predicted.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I mean, again, I don't think me doing an ISTA is that crazy, but I think you bringing me on this podcast is like, whoa, that's a curveball.
Yeah.
You know? And yeah. So I think, yeah, you know, in that way it'd be fun. And I am entering kind of a little more of a wild and crazy time in my life.
Yeah.
Not that level one ISTA would be wild and crazy for me, but I'm just saying, you know, whatever. Yeah. So yeah. Maybe I'll do it. Maybe I'll try to go to like, maybe I'll do it in like Israel or something.
Oh,
shit's crazy in Israel.
Okay,
right
that
now.
Is
oh my God.
Crazy. That's next level.
That would be all crazy. Right. That would be really wild.
Got some good curveballs in there.
Yeah.
With
yeah.
some spin at the end.
I'll have to change my name or something. I'll have to like go probably. In there as like Shiva. Shivananda man or something, you know. Well, I gave it away. That's yeah, it. Yeah. If they see Shivananda, they'll know it's Dave. Ah, shit. Well, shit. You know. Well, it's
good time.
I'll try. Yeah.
Okay. Where can people find you?
In Israel at level one and level three or something. I mean, I have a bunch of writing at a website called Buddhism. Boodaism. My last name is Budakian, yes. So I shortened it to Buddha because I'm more white passing these days, I suppose. Yes. But that's or you can just Google my name, Dave Buddha, and I don't know what'll come up. Probably
amazing.
Something interesting.
Yeah.
Thanks for having me on the podcast,
thanks
Rhea.
For coming,
this was
honey.
Fun.
This was so fun. Yeah. I totally forgot.
Thanks
we were
for
podcasting.
Making me dinner too.
Yeah,
and just being a wonderful friend.
Pleasure.
Yeah.
Always. Love you. Yay. Mwah.
Thanks for listening to the Spiritual Sexual Shamanic Podcast. To find out more about ISTA's retreats, festivals, workshops, or to work with our faculty, see our website, ISTA.life, or find us on Facebook at www.ISTA.life or on Instagram at ISTA Community.